Hi everyone, this is Christoph Kemper, founder of the Link Research Tools, creator of Link Detox, so this is the Link Building and SEO podcast. Today, we got a special guest here that is also known as the Crazy Swede. His name is Philip Blomsterberg. Philip, who are you? What's your background? Hi.
Hi, Christoph. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the big compliment. My name is Philip Blomsterberg. I'm from the south of Sweden, a city called Malmo. I've been in the online business since about 96, where I teach myself everything about internet marketing, design, and so on. And about, I think, 2001, I started my first, I did my first SEO strategy and link building. Then I continued like that as an affiliate and consultant for very long. And in about a year ago, I started Intrepid, which is my SEO consultancy.
Okay. And what do you live from now today? What's your money? What's your cash cow?
That's interesting because having been an affiliate, I didn't want to leave that role totally behind. So I do like 50, 60, 70% consulting, but we also got some long-term affiliate projects going on. Me and some other SEOs from Sweden, which is mostly in gambling, price comparison, and so on.
By the way, Malmö, I know very well because it used to host some. I'm not sure which name it was, but it used to host some copy parties or cracker parties or demo parties in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, for like Commodore 64 and,
exactly.
And Amiga? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I can imagine.
So, when we talk about SEO, are you a pure white hat SEO or a black hat SEO, gray hat? What's your, you know, because you mentioned gambling and price comparison, that's not necessarily an easy niche to work in, right?
No, they're very tough. No, you know, it's a very good question because when talking about SEO, I talk a lot about myths. And I'm not sure if you agree with me, but if you ask me, there's not such a thing as white hat and black hat. And first of all, black hat was something that was like romanticized like 2004 or whatever. People like to say, oh, I'm a black hat SEO because I make doorway pages or whatever. In reality, the black hat guys are those, well, they are criminals, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they hack sites and so on.
And, yeah, exactly. That was the original definition.
Yeah, that's the original definition, and people don't know about that. So everybody says black hat about everything. Keyword stuffing is black hat, you know. It's very funny. It's very, very funny. And then about white hat, well, that doesn't exist either, you know. Everything that isn't black or white is a shade of gray, right? So
exactly.
Let's say I've been very gray, but never black. Since you know we're basically sheep in the garden of Google, and Google has the goat by the balls, so to speak. We become more and more white hat because we need cleaner links, we need good content, we need to provide a user experience or we're gone, you know, especially as an affiliate, because the affiliates won't survive unless they provide something that is valuable to the user. So making that long story short, I used to be very gray. Now I'm a lot more light gray.
Yeah, you know, building links, doing SEO is something that, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, I thought Google tries everything everything to make people believe that they tell them all the tricks, that they tell them everything they need to rank well. So, of course, you need to fix your website. You shouldn't have any technical problems there. The redirects, the reconfigs, all of that site architecture needs to be in place. But I get the impression that a lot of people in the industry, especially, you know, the younger people that just joined now a year or two ago, I'm in the industry forever. I started. That type of people believe that that's everything. And everything that, you know, that is actually search engine optimization, which could also be seen as search engine manipulation, trying to find loopholes, building links, building site networks, you know, not shady scraper sites, but real good link network sites, PBNs, real private block networks. That's something that is often portrayed by Google as being black hat already today. So people shy away from that because they think it's illegal. Oh, no, I'm not allowed to violate the guidelines. And that's true. You know, Google tries to penalize that.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the most funny things you can hear from a client that, oh, are we actually breaking the law if we are doing this? You know,
and
actually there's three types of SEOs, I'd say. The first type is total newbie, like probably some clients. Then there's the medium one that has been in the business for, let's say, 2 years. He probably thinks he's the best in the world. Then there's the third one, the professional, maybe like you and I, who we got cynical at some point. We were skeptical, and we are very, very skeptical about what Google is saying.
Uh-huh.
Because if you used to listen to Matt Cutts, which I'm sure you did, you know, whatever he said was more or less a one sentence riddle, you know? So, and it could be interpreted in 10 different ways. They just say, no, that's not necessarily good. That's not necessarily bad. So the only thing you can do is use good judgment and experimenting, you know.
Do you actually know the story how Matt Cutts really entered the scene, entered the underground world of search engine optimizers?
The Google guy on Webmaster World, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was the Google guy. And there was this other guy who was looking at Webmaster World forums every day, every hour, for everything that Google guy said. And then there was a blog running on Movable Type that had only quotes from the Google guy. And I think, what's his name? Brian Tapke. Tapke went all crazy bananas about that, you know, violating the guidelines and stealing the content there. And that's how valuable it was. And I remember going to that blog every day just to read what Matt Cutts, I mean, back then Google guy, said. But the insider story of why he did that, he did all of that in his spare time for years, was that he wanted to bring the knowledge about search engine optimizers to the engineers. Because the engineers, you know, are super smart people, beautiful minds living in their code and the data, and they couldn't imagine why someone would mess with their algorithm. Why would someone try to, you know, to manipulate it in a way that we didn't intend to? So this kind of reality of making money by manipulating the search results had to be communicated or learned in the first place. You know, how do they do it? But also communicated back to the engineers back then. And I think that was the beginning of the so-called webmaster relations that, you know, changed over so many years. But,
You know, it's interesting because I think about that time, I think AdSense was launched in, do you remember, 2003, 2004 or something like that?
Yeah.
And basically what Google did, although it was a great idea, they kind of opened a can of worms, right?
Yeah.
Because they got a lot of publishers and advertisers, but you saw the internet explode with 5 or 10 million MFA sites. And everybody started scraping. And I know if you check a Wikipedia article somewhere, you could find like 5,000 duplicates of it, whatever it was, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. No, it's a very interesting thing that he was lurking there. I think he quit quite a few years ago, didn't he? Or
he's, yeah, he's that's not, like three years ago now. I think 2014 was when he quit and went on vacation, working for the NSA now. So the other guys took up, but I think that was a change from, you know, Matt Cutts being the engineer. He was the engineer that did the webmaster relations. And as far as I know, John Mueller and Gary Illich, who are very popular now doing webmaster relations, are not engineers. So there's, let's say, a little bit more distance to the actual system, to the actual algorithm. And that, from my point of view, is, well, it's good for Google because they cannot give away something. But, you know, back then, I think Matt Cutts gave away a little hint here or there that was helpful still.
Yeah, and he had many different colored T-shirts, if you noticed. Yeah, but I've noticed Miller and Ilya, they both are, like you said, more distant. They like weigh every word on a scale. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to divulge too much. And I think that's all intentional by Google. I mean, Google said, you know, with the last Penguin update in October or whatever, whenever it was, they said they wouldn't like publicize more about what the updates did. Do you remember? Yeah. They said something to that effect.
So they are
getting increasingly secretive, which, of course, is very bad for the industry because there's more speculations, as always, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, that's how it all started anyways. There was a way when they had a very aggressive, you know, with Penguin updates, a very aggressive way of scaring people.
Yeah.
From doing SEO, and they did that. And so, on the other hand, they're taking all of that back now. And I remember Gary Illich at the SMX Advance just saying, it's content and links that you need for ranking. It was just here at the beginning of June 2017 in Seattle, where they need to reconfirm to people that actually content and links is what the main algorithm is about and still is about, and they haven't changed much about that. And we see a huge a wave of people now, you know, doing more link building again, looking at the link audits, cleaning up their websites from things that they didn't touch. So I think Google needs to change the strategy a little bit to encourage people again to do real SEO and not just, you know, talk around.
Yeah, you know, I also read that. I read, who was it, Ilya or Miller, who said doing SEO without any links would be very, very difficult. Something like
that. Yeah. He said, that was actually PubCon Las Vegas in October 16, where he said ranking without links is really, really hard.
Yeah.
So that's the best possible statement, I think, to explain what Google thinks they need to explain. Apparently, they are very, very, very reliant on links still. They need it for the algorithm, and people need to build links and take care of their links for Google to work. So that is something that I think is also the reason why they just recently talked about, you know, paid links again, and that you should be careful with your paid links, and that they are so good to find all these unnatural links, even on big websites, you know, links on Forbes, links on Entrepreneur. They claim that they find all the paid links very, very good. I see that with a grain of salt. And I mean, that's certainly something different to PBN networks, like real
it's very
custom site networks, not necessarily blogs. But you mentioned you love building and also cracking PBN networks.
Yeah, that's my pastime, favorite pastime, or used to be cracking PBNs, because it takes a lot of time. And in the end, you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? You know, because it's kind of a competitive intelligence to see what people do But then again, today, the methods you use within SEO are quite mainstream. You know them all. It was different like 12 years ago when everybody was cloaking and doing very fishy stuff, you know. Then you could really learn stuff from checking what's behind those cloaked pages or whatever. Today, it's everybody is doing the same, and it's very much about outreach, creating good content, removing the bad links, you know. That's what I'm thinking. So, SEO has evolved incredibly much in just the last 5 or 10 years, you know.
Well, you have all the experience. Of course, for you, there's nothing new to learn. But on the other hand, other people assuming things can be taken for granted, assuming links are not there just because people block their link networks in Ahrefs and Majestic. So they don't see the links there. They think the links are not there. I think that's a big, there's a big chunk in the market, a chunk of people in the market that actually believe everything they see immediately and don't question. I had this conversation with Dixon also about the robots.txt and also clients that asked me, where do you get these links from? I don't see them in Majestic. I don't see them here in this tool. And of course, this is something that we as link research tools try to provide a best possible, you know, chunk of
data. You know, that's the big power of your system by crowdsourcing every possible source, you know. But also, when talking about blocking bots and so on, you have to consider that when watching a link profile, that's not the whole truth either, because even if it's complete, people might have disavowed 50% of those links, you know.
Right.
So
I fully agree.
Yeah. So if you're doing competitive research, you're checking your competitors, you actually got a lot of homework to do before you can say that's why they are ranking better than us, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's the fact.
And that's just the links. Then you've got all the on-page stuff and technology and structure and so on, you know.
No, it certainly didn't get easier over all these years. I think we can agree on that. That's why I think, you know, a reminder to the market, a reminder to the people that there is so much out there that needs to be understood is always good. You know, just as you said.
And most of all, that people need to understand, mostly clients, that, for example, my company, we take more of a webmaster approach with our clients. I mean, our specialty is SEO, but we try to help them with everything, technology, a bit CRO, everything, because they need to combine everything they do within the company or site to succeed today. Not just SEO, you've got social, content marketing, everything. And, you know, it's very, very hard to get a client, especially a big client, to understand that.
Yeah.
And why? Then you've got to... Well, because they're mostly analog. And if you try to explain to a client, you have to combine your analog marketing efforts with your digital marketing efforts. If you do a big drive somewhere, you also have to do the social media stuff. You have to cover the PPC site, and you have to make sure your site is quick and that it converts and that everybody loves it, you know. So actually today, SEO or webmastering is a very, very big machinery. Yeah.
And that knowledge is not there in the big organizations.
I would say abroad, I mean, the Americans, they know a lot more about it. But for me, I need to explain that every day. And then you have to consider I need to start explaining things at the level that SEO is not illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that takes days or weeks, and then you have to explain the costs of doing outreach, link bait, and so on. Mm-hmm. Still, I think SEO is very, very profitable if you do it right, but you really have to talk to the client, you know.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see we're cracking our time budget here already and need to wrap it up soon. Do you have a final favorite trick or tip that you would like to share with our audience?
I have two short ones. The first one for the new guys or the medium guys, medium knowledge guys, is to not believe in all the myths. Always question stuff. If people write something, do they back it up with data or experience? Can they show that this is something that really exists, like, you know, social media affecting SEO ranking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then the next part would be, you know, MOS, domain authority, trust flow, and so on. Trust flow is wonderful, especially topical trust flow. But when you're making a link audit, you're getting a link from someplace, don't take the trust flow stuff and metrics at face value.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just an emulation of page rank. Sometimes trust flow tends to be a bit skewed, especially when you're in a small country like Sweden with Swedish. So what you need to do is to visit all sites, check what, do they rank themselves, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Is the content good? Do they have a lot of visitors? If they do, I think getting a trust flow link, that is a link of trust flow 6, for example, could be good. Not necessarily bad, you know. So not everything is like trustful 25 to be okay, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Have you worked with LRT Power and LRT Trust?
Long time ago, because I only used your system like 3 times when we had a negative SEO attack.
Uh-huh. And but a link on it only.
Yeah, and uh-huh. and one was typical hacked site with Louis Vuitton bags and so on, you know.
Oh yeah, so, nasty stuff. Yeah,
incredible stuff, you know.
Yeah, that would be a good call to action here, because we do have LRT Power and LRT Trust also available for free now in browser extensions. You can go to the Chrome store or the Firefox store and just install the Link Research Tools extensions to see those metrics. And I would be curious, you know, maybe in a follow-up, or if you want to send me an email then, you know, how that worked out specific to your market, specific to Sweden. And it's another way to measure the link strength, the link trust. But I agree, it's still something that is based on a large index, but it's still not a direct information from Google. So the fact that Google didn't give out information with PageRank for so many years, they stopped giving, you know, useful data in 2008 or so in PageRank, led to all these additional metrics and these additional link strength measurements. Yeah. But I agree, you know.
It's not necessarily that trust flow is bad, because trust flow isn't bad. I mean, we got trust flow like in 2010 or whatever, it was more or less godsend, you know. But what you need to consider is that it emulates PageRank, and PageRank today, I mean, the idea is the same, that you've got links at the bottom, but there's probably lots more to it after 20 years after the thesis at Princeton.
Exactly. And Google won't give it to us. They shut it down long time ago, and they certainly, like the same in the communication, I don't think we'll get anything useful out of the Google system for obvious reasons.
If I get two honest answers from Google, I'd ask them two things. One thing would be, who would I sleep with at Google to get the secret? The second one would be, would you in perhaps 40 years, while I'm still living, tell us what we did wrong or right? Right, but probably I'll never get those answers.
No chance. That's a nice call to action.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, then thank you very much, Philip. We need to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much and
thank you for
being
having
on the show.
Me.
And all of you out there, I hope you enjoyed this interview and look forward to your feedback and your emails. And if you have any questions, just mail me at feedback@linkresearchtools.com. Thank you very much, Philip.
Thank you, everyone out there.
And bye-bye. My name is Christoph Kemper, founder of the Link Research Tools. Bye-bye.